Scripture reading for this morning will be Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, for moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God in spirit and in truth and to be blessed and granted with another Lord's Day that we can assemble together and certainly remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thankful for that opportunity that we've been granted to be together another Lord's Day to do these things that God has asked us to do. You know, when January comes, so many people set goals. And, you know, I think that there's something to that, definitely, as we think. Of course, I think you need a goal and a plan and so many things. I think you should chop whatever goals you have, certainly, into manageable tasks. But I think that many times, Satan is certainly very good at what he does. And Satan's very good at distracting with the world. And we see that he has a lot of tools at his disposal, as we see in 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 and following, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. It is amazing that Satan is good at using these tools, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, things that are temporary and passing away. Talk about a short-term goal. A short-term goal on something that I want to achieve, but is going to be passing away. I'm going to try to achieve this. I'm going to try to achieve that. And I'm trying to achieve so many of these worldly things that sit underneath these areas that Satan uses. Now, we understand that there are certain things that we should strive for. I think we should strive to be good workers in the workplace. We should try to be the best version of ourselves, I believe. But we cannot lose sight of spiritual things. And many times when the year rolls around and they start writing down goals and start considering things, so many of those things, I would say, fall under the category of things that are passing away. You know, if I'm going to set goals for my life, maybe I should think more long term. Maybe I should think of goal setting in a way that would bring glory to God, bring glory to Jesus, bring glory to the Holy Spirit, and goals that are long-term and spiritual in nature. I find it interesting that, you know, if we were to set our goal list down before ourselves, most of those goals are going to end up on this physical plane of life. And when we reflect on that just for a minute and think about what it says here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, it says the world is passing away. Not that we can't have goals as we go throughout this life. But I think it's sad if we take a step back and just reflect for a minute and say, most of my goals are on temporary things. Most of my goals are on things that perhaps are not going to last. Perhaps a wage increase or something that I want in a physical nature. But what I want to think about is long-term goals. And I want to think about spiritual goals. And I want to think about these areas this morning. How sad it is that many times we focus ourselves on the world and not where God wants our focus. And because the things of this world are temporary, they're passing away, as it says, and sometimes we direct a lot of our attention to things that are passing away. But if I have an opportunity to choose, if I have an opportunity to think about my life, perhaps I should sit down and make some long-term goals. And not only set these goals, but think about how they can be achieved, how they can be accomplished. Perhaps the long-term goal of making it to heaven. Perhaps the long-term goal of seeing my children in heaven. Perhaps the long-term goal of seeing my grandchildren, Lord willing, in heaven. If I'm going to set some goals, perhaps I should think about some goals that are going to be permanent and not temporary. But we have to be careful with that, don't we? We have to be careful that as we go throughout this life, and certainly we'll set some physical goals, that we really sit down and consider, what are my long-term goals? What are my spiritual goals? Maybe I should set some goals that aren't temporary in nature, but permanent. Goals that if achieved, will go through eternity. Certainly this world is changing. We've got aging in the world. We've got uncertainty in the world. We've got war in the world. We've got governments that are changing in the world. We have laws and regulations that change in the world. It'd be nice to have some stability. And that stability can be added to our lives by focusing on what God really wants us to focus upon. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can bring us some consistency in our life and some permanency in our life if we focus on those things that we should. But I've got some questions this morning. Are you focused, our first area this morning, are you focused more on your physical life or your spiritual life? See, we understand that our physical life is passing away. Our physical life is temporary. And I understand that our physical life, the way in which we live it, the way in which we conduct ourselves, the way in which we choose to live our life, has a big significance on our eternal life. But which do you focus more on? Your physical life or your spiritual life? Certainly we have needs and God understands that. When we go through Matthew, God certainly addresses that. He says, you know, I know that you have needs. I know you need clothing. I know you need food. But seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, that is setting your mind on a long-term goal. Setting your mind on spiritual things. We live in a physical body. We have physical needs. And certainly God understands that. But do you focus more on your physical life or your spiritual life? I think that's a trap. I think it's a trap that Satan tries to get you. Is that you've got these options. I can focus more on my spiritual life or my physical life. And Satan throughout our life is trying to get us to say, just focus a little bit more on the physical. Just focus a little bit more on that which is passing away. Focus a little bit more on those things that are not everlasting. Are you focused more on your physical life or your spiritual life? You know, this world is passing away, and certainly when we think about our physical life is passing away. There is a certainty of death. You understand that you're going to die. Physically, unless the Lord comes back, but still, there's a transition process in relation to that. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, the judgment. You know, there's a date of your physical death out there, and I don't know what that date is. Some people die young. Some people die in pain. Some people die relatively peacefully. You will die. There's a physical death. There's a physical death that we need to think about in terms of reality. But the irony is if you focus too much on the physical death, you can perhaps miss out on spiritual life. Focusing on the things of the world that are passing away. We have a physical life. We will die. And that shouldn't be a secret. As we go throughout this life and we are reminded of it, as we see loved ones, friends, relatives, neighbors that pass in this life. Are you more focused on your physical life or your spiritual life? Certainly time goes fast. And certainly as I get older, it just seems to speed up all the more. My physical life is going faster and faster, as it seems. Each day, one day closer to physical death, and we must not lose the focus that we see of the Bible, focusing on our spiritual life over our physical life. I think we can see that with the New Testament writers. I think of Paul and his mindset. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, Paul, right there in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he's giving us a little picture of his mindset. And his mindset is, I am more focused on my spiritual life than I am my physical life. He understands he has a physical life, and he's going to use that to the best of his ability to serve God. And he says, I'm hard-pressed between the two. to go in to die and be with God, but also he understands that there's a need for him to be there in the physical to try to help and assist as he can. But I think in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, we do see a picture that Paul has a focus. He has a focus on spiritual life. And I think we should have that focus as well. We should have that focus as well. Are you more focused on your physical life or your spiritual life? There are certainly things that have to be taken care of as we live on this plane of life. We understand that. But that's a question for you. Are you more focused on your spiritual or your physical life? What a blessing it is that we have such an opportunity. That we have such an opportunity that we have a chance to fight for life everlasting. That we have a chance of a life that goes beyond the physical, a life to go on and be with God in heaven. What a blessing that is. But are we going to let Satan distract us by things that are passing away? See, that's a good long-term goal. A good long-term goal of, you know what, if I'm going to set my attention on my physical life that is temporary or my spiritual life that's everlasting, I don't think it really leaves us with much of a choice. We understand that our attention, our talents and abilities, our focus really cannot leave the spiritual life. But Satan is always trying to drag us away and focus on those other things. And when we're focused on that spiritual life, it changes our attitude and our mindset as we go throughout this life. We think of Philippians chapter 1 as we've already reflected upon, but as we go throughout the book, it's just kind of brought up again and again. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding, and I think that that peace is more easily acquired when we are more focused on the spiritual than we are the physical. When we're focused more on the physical, I think we can be more anxious. I think when we're focused more on the physical, we're less at peace. And also, within that same context, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I think we can be a more joyous people when we are focused more on the spiritual than we are the physical. But the question for you, which life are you focused more upon? Your physical life or your spiritual life? Your physical life is temporary. A spiritual life is eternal. If I'm going to set a long-term goal for myself, if I'm going to set a long-term goal for my family, if I'm going to set a long-term goal for those that are around me, I don't know if there's much of a choice. Is that our focus should be dedicated to a spiritual life. And we understand that physical things will fall in there. But our life takes a very good order when we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else falls into play. When I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you know what? I'm a better father. When I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I'm a better neighbor. When I put God at the forefront of my mind, I am really better in all areas. When I seek to follow Christ and the example which he has set, I will be better in all those other areas. I'll be a better employee. I'll be a better worker. I'll be a better citizen. I'll be a better father. I'll be better in all those areas if I put God first. But the world says, try to sneak some of those physical things before the spiritual. Try to sneak some of those things. So when we look at Paul, we look at the New Testament church, we look at the apostles, we look at the disciples of the New Testament, we look at the way that they conducted their lives, we look at their joy, we look at their service to the Lord, it's clear that they are focused on something that the world is not focused on. They are focused on God and serving God, and they understand that everything else in their life will fall into place. I think when we look at the New Testament church, They many times did not have fear. When the world says, you should have fear of this. We think in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. How many times do we see in the New Testament the followers of God standing up to government or the authority of the land and say, you know what, you can take our life. You can take my physical life. You know why? Because it's temporary. If I'm going to live this life here, I'm going to use my physical life for the service of God. They were focused on their spiritual life. You can see it in their conduct. You can see it in the way that they live their lives. They showed through action that we are more spiritually focused than we are physically focused. And it's something that we have to think about. When I go through life, I want to walk through life, my physical life, with God hand in hand. And I think I can only do that if I'm more spiritually focused. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Don't get lost in covetousness. Don't get lost in desiring the things of the world. Don't get lost in that. God is with you. He walks with you. But God wants you to be spiritually focused. And really, when we think about our physical lives, they're temporary. And as we look back in Psalms, we see that we kind of have a general ballpark of how long we're going to live. Our physical life is not going to be forever. And really, when we think about our physical life, it's not really about the quantity as much as it is the quality. Our physical life, I don't know how many years I'll get. I try to live each day the best I can. I'm not promised tomorrow, and neither are you. Are you going to be spiritually focused? It's not quantity, it's quality. We think of a couple of individuals. I think of Enoch. In Genesis, God takes him up to heaven. Well, he didn't have as long a life as Methuselah. Methuselah, the oldest recorded one in the Bible. But you know what? I take quality over quantity any day. Give me quality years. Quality years of service. And that's really why God takes Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. He says, "Enoch, you've walked with God." I think of Elijah in 2 Kings. Elijah also taken up to God. The end of our physical life for a Christian should be something that we somewhat welcome. We might not be trying to intentionally hurry it up or anything. And then Paul says that in Philippians. He says, "I'm hard-pressed between the two." He says, "I want to go and be with God, but," he says, "I know it's needful for me to be here. While I'm here, I'm going to do the best I can to serve my fellow man. I'm going to try to love my neighbor. I'm going to try to love God. I'm going to try to be the best I can be in service to the Lord." Are you focused more on your physical life or your spiritual life? A lot of times, we get those mixed up. Number two, I've got another choice for you. You can focus on your temporary physical life, or you can focus on your eternal spiritual life. Here's something else to think about. Are you going to focus on your temporary earthly treasures, or are you going to focus on your eternal treasures? Which we already had an excellent reading there in Matthew chapter 6. And we'll get there here in a moment. So we live in a life and we live in a society that's competitive. We live in a life of hustle and bustle. We live in a life where business and capitalism, we have all these things. And it's very easy for Satan to use these things to get us off our spiritual focus. Our physical life is not going to last forever. And really, when we realize it too, the things that we have in this life will not last forever. It seems like these things should be obvious to us, but how many times does Satan distract us and get us so many times off track when we are working on our lives and going through life? Dealing with the world, worrying so much about worldly things that we forget about those things that are spiritual and those things that are truly most important. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says this. It says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness, and pierced through with many sorrows." You know, that's pretty powerful. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. You know, when you look through the Old Testament, when do people struggle most with their relationship with God? I think many times when they're rich. We see Israel God's people of the Old Testament, they would go through these periods where they'd be very prosperous, and you know what would happen? They'd turn away from God. And then what would happen is their society would crash, and they'd be taken over by another group of people, and then they'd start turning back to God. And then, you know what? They started getting prosperous again. I'm not saying that we can't be faithful to God and be prosperous. I'm just saying it's a challenge. It is a challenge, and I think I would be amiss as a preacher in the United States if I did not preach on this from time to time, is prosperity is a danger to God's people. Because it gets us focused on the world more than spiritual things. And this is a challenge for me. Don't think I'm immune from this. This is a challenge for me. It's a challenge, I think, for all of us, because we do live in a nation that's very prosperous. And we have to think about these things. Am I really more focused on my earthly treasures, or am I more focused on the spiritual treasures? The spiritual treasures will last forever. These earthly treasures are temporary and are passing away. And it's very easy sometimes to be distracted by such things. But I just read that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. What a picture. It says that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. They're falling into a snare, a trap. And it says, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. I'll tell you something that is very sorrowful, is to get to the end of life and realize that all you chased was the wind. You get to the end of life and you realize all you were chasing was the wind. You were chasing the uncatchable, the ungrabbable, the unsustainable. You're chasing things that you'll never be able to catch, you'll never be able to sustain. These things are passing away. And my dad has like the 3-generation rule. Which I think you can probably find in history, is if you have a generation that becomes rich and prosperous, you just give it a couple generations and it's just going to cycle all back. Because what happens is that generation that becomes rich and prosperous, they worked hard, they were diligent. But that next generation, they kind of got to see dad do all of that. They got to see dad and mom go through those struggles and those trials to try to build the business or whatever they're trying to do to try to build up from where they were. And then you start to get to that third and fourth generation. And that third and fourth generation, they didn't get to see hardly any of the hard work. Sometimes they get a sense of entitlement. Sometimes they get a sense of, this is how it's been. I deserve these things. Prosperity is a danger. In the same context, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, it gives the command to people that are rich. And I think this would apply to all of us and for something for us to consider. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, throwing up to themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. It seems like the letter that's written to Timothy is directing Timothy in a direction. Be very careful with prosperity. You need to be rich in good works. But right there it says, don't be haughty, don't be prideful, but it says, storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come that you may lay hold on eternal life. There's a focus on those things that are spiritual. Are you more focused on earthly treasures or spiritual treasures? It's something for you to think about. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it talks about the day of the Lord. And when the day of the Lord comes, when God comes back, it says that the earth and the elements are going to be melted with a fervent heat. All the things of the earth are going to be burned up. They're going to be passed away. They're going to be gone. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, for you have brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you can carry nothing out. I want to think about that just one more time. You carry nothing into this world, and it's certain that you're going to carry nothing out. You can have the biggest retirement, you can have the land, you can have a house, you can have a vehicle, you can have all these things of the world, but you realize you came naked into this world and you're going naked out. Dust to dust. To make your life worthwhile, we cannot chase things that are temporary. We cannot chase our physical life, we must chase our spiritual life. We cannot chase earthly treasures, we must chase those spiritual treasures as best we can. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart is also. What would you do if you gained the whole world? You'd lose it as soon as you die. What if you gain the whole world but lost your soul? Something that is permanent, something that is valuable, something that is eternal. What a sad case that would be. When I look at the New Testament, I look at the Christians of the New Testament, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only did they focus on the spiritual life, but they focused on heavenly treasures. They focused on heavenly treasures over spiritual treasures, and that's something that we do need to think about from time to time. In John chapter 6, in verse 27, it says, "Do not linger for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food that endures forever. Are you more focused on the earthly treasures, or are you more focused on the spiritual treasures? One more area I'd like to consider. Physical goals versus spiritual goals. Physical goals versus spiritual goals. How do you handle those? Now, a lot of people gave up New Year's resolutions a long time ago. They said, "I've tried this, I've done this, I've given up." I haven't given up. Because I believe that I should try to be the best version of myself. And it doesn't have to start at the change of the year, it can start today. It can start any day. And really, when you think about your Christian life, when you became a Christian, what were you saying? "I want to leave the old man behind, the old man of sin, and I'm going to try to pursue this new life. I'm going to try to be better than I was in the past. I'm going to try to focus more on my spiritual life than my physical life. I'm going to try to focus more on those spiritual treasures, those heavenly treasures, more than those physical treasures." But I want you to think of any goals that you have. And if you don't have any goals, I would say that you probably should make a goal. And I think you should break that goal down into manageable parts. A lot of people make the goal to read the Bible through in a year, but they don't know how much that means that they need to read a day. You know, you can do that pretty easily. In fact, there's a lot of audio books and things. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading the scriptures as the chariot was going. You know, could you listen to the Bible while you were driving to work? I think you could. I don't think it's quite as good as sitting down with God's Word and reading it. You know, I don't think you absorb quite as much, but I can tell you it's better than not. The Ethiopian eunuch is in his chariot, and he's got God's Word, and he's reading it. You can make a spiritual goal to read the Bible this year. To get through the Bible this year, you can just Google real quick. How many chapters would I have to read a day, or how many minutes would I have to read a day to get through the Bible in a year? It might not be as much as you think. How many minutes a week would I have to read? Because you might miss a day. You might miss a day. We're not perfect. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes trips to the emergency room happen. You know, who knows? Things happen in life. But what if you missed a day in the week? What would you have to hit for the week to get through the Bible? Spiritual goals. Goals that have a connection to something that is permanent and everlasting. Do your actions line up with your spiritual goals? What are your spiritual goals? Do you have the goal to get to heaven? Do you have the goal of your children getting to heaven? Do you have a goal of your grandchildren to get to heaven? Do you understand that that foundation starts today in our actions? How we conduct ourselves, how we live our life. Have you counted the cost? Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost?" Well, when you start to look at things that are eternal, that are everlasting, that are going to be forever, we start to realize that when you start to count the cost, that spiritual things are worth it. Spiritual activities are worth it. It is worth it to come to Bible class. It's worth it. That would be a good thing to do to set you on the trajectory to meet your long-term spiritual goal, to go to heaven, to assemble with the brothers and sisters in Christ, to study God's Word, to pray, to sing, to get involved in the work of the church, and however we can. Have you looked at your spiritual goal? If I want my kids to go to heaven, I need to try to get as much spiritual knowledge as I can into them. Now, Sarah and I try to do the best we can. I tell you, it's such a blessing that we can bring them here to Sandyville. And we have some Bible class teachers that have volunteered their time to teach my children as well. And I am thankful, and I can say I'm really eternally thankful for the spiritual work that goes into my kids. The spiritual work of your influence. The spiritual work of you teaching. See, we're in this together. When we start looking at these long-term spiritual goals, we start to realize how intimately connected we are, how you affect me, how I affect you, how we can support and love one another and get to that goal that we're really trying to reach. Seldom in this life do people look beyond their noses. Seldom in this life do people look beyond tomorrow. There's very few people that look beyond their physical life and look to the spiritual life. There's very few people that look beyond earthly treasures and can see the spiritual treasures. There's very few people that look beyond physical goals and say, I'm going to make some spiritual goals. And I'm going to fight to hit these with everything that I have. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this world. Where is your mind set today? And where will it be set tomorrow? You understand that these goals that you set are so important. You need to think about the actions which you need to take to make sure that you reach these spiritual goals. Are you focused more on your physical life or spiritual life? Are you focused more on your earthly treasures or your spiritual treasures? Are you focused more on your earthly goals or are you focused more on your spiritual goals? And what actions would you take today, tomorrow, next week, next month to make sure you reach that heavenly home? How can you help somebody else in that regard? Certainly we can love and support one another, but God wants us to be focused on that spiritual target. And it's a target out there, but it's a target worth fighting for. Certainly this morning, if you need to become a New Testament Christian, that would show that you have a spiritual focus. That you're thinking about beyond tomorrow, and you're certainly thinking about what Jesus has done for you, what he did in preparation to him dying on the cross, and then also what he is doing today. We certainly think of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Heaven's a prepared place for a prepared people that are spiritually minded and thinking about those things which God would want us to focus upon. Perhaps you need your subject to invitation in some way this morning. We ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.